1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be rendered in its own times, so on. I'd like just to speak tonight about the man Christ Jesus, theme of God's glad tidings. Wonderful man that he is, like no other man you know. I wonder if he's known of every heart in this room, the man Christ Jesus. You young ones here, how good it is to see so many young ones. Do we all of you, have a living link with the man Christ Jesus? You know, if you don't know him, I can assure you that he knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. And notwithstanding that, he loves you. Wonderful thing that, you know, that someone you might not even know loves you. He loves you so much that he went to Calvary's cross to die for you in order that you, as away from God through being a sinner and trusting in what Christ has done, may go absolutely free. That's how much he loves you. He has claims upon you as well, you know. He has a claim upon you because he made you. The man Christ Jesus is the creator of the universe, according to Hebrews 1, by whom also he made the worlds. That's the Saviour we present in the glad tidings. And so he has rights over you as a creator because he made you. But then he has rights over you as a redeemer because he died to redeem you. He shed his precious blood that you might be redeemed. You say, why do I need to know Jesus? Well, I can assure you, dear friend, that everyone in the world tonight needs to know Jesus. It's so important. Because in the one hand, we have a holy and righteous God who cannot look upon sin. On the other hand, we have the sinner. And that's you and me and everyone else in the world tonight. Sinners away from God, unrighteous. How are the two to be brought together? Because God cannot look upon sin. Well, in the glad tidings, we can tell you that God has found a way to approach the sinner and uphold the righteousness and the glory of his throne. Let me tell you that not a whit of God's righteousness has been surrendered in drawing near to lost and ruined sinners such as you and I. God has found a way in Christ. The mediator between God and men, one, the man Christ Jesus. Now you say, what is a mediator? A mediator is one who can come between two parties who are at opposite ends. Now Moses, if you know the story of Moses, he acted as a mediator for the people of Israel because they sinned against God and they made a golden calf and said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. And they sinned against God. But you know, Moses stepped into the breach. And he had no part in that sin. But he stepped into the breach. And he interceded for the people before God. But you know, Moses was not able to make atonement for them. He said, perhaps I will make atonement. But he wasn't able to do that. Why? Because only Christ could make atonement for your sins. And he did that on Calvary's cross, nearly 2,000 years ago. How could he make atonement for sin? Because he was absolutely sin apart. Only a perfect sacrifice could be made for sin, you know. And my Saviour offered himself without spot to God to be that sacrifice in order that all who put their faith and trust in that finished work can go free tonight. Oh, dear friend, isn't he a wonderful person? He's my Saviour. That's why I stand here tonight. You know, you don't volunteer to preach the glad tidings. It's quite an exercise. But I can stand here tonight and tell you about someone that I know. That one, someone who died on Calvary's cross for me. Someone that I put my faith and trust in many years ago. And never once for a minute have I regretted it. And I've never met anyone who regretted putting their faith and trust in Jesus. No, what a wonderful person he is, you know. And so, where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand? Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus tonight, you know? You hear the gospel presented. How are you going to respond to it? Because I can assure you that your response to the glad tidings will be recorded in heaven tonight. Have you thought about that? That God will write down how you respond to the glad tidings. And if you don't accept what he's offering, you may not get another opportunity. I can't speak about tomorrow. This is a day of salvation. This is an opportunity tonight where you sit in your seat to come and find peace with God through putting faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Now, the man, Christ Jesus. I love that. You know, that's God manifest in flesh. That's who he was. God himself, you know. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You know, the Creator stepped into the creation. Marvelous. Oh, wonder. No wonder the hymn writer could say, oh, wonder. God manifest in flesh, oh wonder of his universe. Think of the Creator stepping into the creation. Why did he come? The scripture says, faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Think of the world that the Savior came into. You know, what a dreadful place it was. You say the world's bad tonight, yes. But the world, if anything, was even worse then. Think of Israel. Think of how few there were in Israel that accepted what God had brought in. How few there were left. Think of the rest of the world given over to idolatry and cruelty. Think of the dreadful place the world was. Think of the light that shone when Christ came into manhood. What a light that was, you know. And that light is still shining tonight. It appeared in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. What did that mean? That Israel rejected Christ. That's what it meant. Think of a light going on in a dark room, and yet the darkness not apprehending it. Well, my Saviour was rejected by Israel. And you say, well, I wouldn't have done if I'd met a man like that. I wouldn't have done what they did. Well, I can assure you, my friend, you don't know your own heart. Because you would have said the very same. Away with this man. We will not have this man, you know. Because the heart of man is incurable and desperately wicked. And the only thing that can change that are the operations of divine grace. And you know, divine grace is the greatest power in the universe tonight. You know, what a power the power of grace is, you know. It can break down the hardest heart. You may sit in your seat tonight and say, I've heard many gospel preachings. This is just another one. And you may have your heart hardened. Oh, may this be the night that the grace of God will break you down, that you will appreciate the glory of the one who died for you personally on Calvary's cross, and you'll put your faith and trust in him. Gave himself a ransom for all. What was the ransom? The ransom was his precious blood. And you know, these glad tidings come free to you tonight because the immense price has been paid. Dear friend, you have nothing to pay in respect of your lost condition. You don't have the currency that God requires because it was the blood of a spotless victim, the blood of Jesus, foreknown indeed from before the foundation of the world. Well, he came in to give effect to God's counsels. He came in to save sinners such as you and I. Well, John's gospel presents the man Christ Jesus in a unique way. You know, there it was in John 4. The Lord says the Lord must needs pass through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman that needed help. Is there someone in this room tonight that needs help? If you're without Christ, dear friend, you need help. And Jesus is ready to help you. He came and sat down at Sychar's well, wearied with the journey, and waited for that poor woman to come out of the city in the middle of the day. You know, you don't go and draw water in the middle of the day in Israel because it's too hot. But that woman was ashamed of her history, and she came out to the well when nobody else would be there. But the Saviour of the world was there, and he was waiting on her. Maybe he's waiting on someone in this room tonight. Have you heard the appeal of the Lord Jesus before? Are you going to surrender tonight to his appeal? Oh, that you will, you know. Surrender now. He wants your heart, you know. Dear young person, Jesus wants your heart. Will you not give him it, you know? Will you not open the door of your heart? Remember, the handle is on the inside. You have to do it. He wants to come in, but you need to open the door. If you open the door, you will be satisfied in a way that you've never been before. That's what that woman found, you know. She came out of the wet to draw water, drawing every day to try and satisfy a need that couldn't be satisfied. And you find that, you know. You try this and that and the other thing, but nothing but Christ will satisfy you. And he knows that. He knows that because he created you. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you, and he knows that he needs you, that you need him, and he wants to come into your heart. He came in to that woman's heart. He demonstrated the need that she had in her soul. He brought her through to the fact that her past history had to be dealt with. And she goes off into the city saying, come see a man. What a preaching. That's all we can do in the glad tidings tonight, is say, come see a man who told me all things ever I had done. Is not he the Christ? That woman had a heart that was satisfied with Christ. You come to John 5, and the Lord goes down to the pool, you know. And there is a great many people. Think of the grace of God that an angel descended at a certain time and disturbed the waters, and the first person in after that got healed. Think of that in Israel at that time. Think of the Lord going into that area and goes up to this man and he says, wouldest thou become well? Wouldest thou become well? Well, what a question tonight to everyone in this room. Would you become well? Would you be free of your guilt of sin? The Lord would say, you know, I took it on for you at Calvary's cross. I bore your sins. If you'll but trust me, wouldest thou become well? Of course, the man would have become well. But he says, I have not a man. I have not a man. Well, that man stood before him. And there's no one tonight can say, I have not a man, because the man, Christ Jesus, is available for you. David said, no man careth for my soul. As nobody can say that either. The Lord Jesus cares for your soul. Your soul is precious, very precious. You know, it's so precious that it involved the death of heaven's best on Calvary's cross that it might be saved. You think you're of no importance, that nobody has any interest in you, maybe. People think that, you know. Some very lonely people in the world think that no one has an interest in them. But I can assure you that heaven is interested in every soul and wants your blessing, desires your blessing. You know, the angels will rejoice at sinners repenting tonight. Think of angels, you know, for whom there is no salvation. An angel sins, it falls, and that's it. There is no salvation. And yet such creatures will rejoice at a sinner repenting. Marvellous, isn't it? Well, wouldest thou become well? I have not a man. What did the Lord say? Arise, take up thy couch and walk. And the man stood up. Well, he wasn't a very good example, because he disobeyed what the Lord said after that. I'm not going into that. But the fact is, I have not a man. And the man stood before him. And Jesus is passing by tonight in Worthing. He's ready to receive you. How simple it is, you know. If anyone here tonight just has got a burden of sin upon them, carry it no more. Bring it to the cross tonight and leave it there, because Jesus bore it. Bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He took it on. He took on what stood out against us in the sight of a holy and righteous God. And like Christian, you know, in the book, you can come to the cross tonight and that burden can roll away because it was borne by Jesus. God has a righteous basis to bless you tonight because of the work of Christ. You come to John 9 and there you have a man who knew one thing. And that's marvellous, you know. One thing I know. He had a transaction with a man called Jesus. And it changed his life. And it'll change your life too, you know. You can't have to do with Jesus and it not affect your life. You know, he said, a man called Jesus, made mud of a spittle and anointed mine eyes and told me to wash in Siloam. I went and washed and came seeing. That man was obedient to the word of the Lord and he got the blessing. Now that's what it is in the glad tidings. It's the obedience of faith. You need to obey. These are God commands. Oh, everywhere, to repent, you know. I'm not extending a choice to you in the glad tidings. The glad tidings are preached for your acceptance. Men speak of a choice, you know. The glad tidings does not involve a choice. You may choose to refuse it, and if you do, judgment awaits you. Judgment awaits you. I'm not going into that at the moment. But the glad tidings are preached for your acceptance. And you need to obey. And the obedience of faith, like Naaman, you know, he had to be appealed to. He thought that he was too big a man to go and wash in the Jordan. He was too important, you know. It was too simple for Naaman just to do what he was told. You know, is it too simple for you? Do you want some part of this? Do you want some to do something? How obnoxious to God that any creature could do anything. The work of Christ stands in its perfection as meeting the need of man and meeting the claims of a holy and righteous God. There's nothing that you and I can do. except what he has done. Naaman, it was too hard, you know. But the servant said, look, if he told you, do some great thing, would you not have done it? Of course he would have done it. He would have done anything to get cleansed with Naaman. Well, a way of blessing. The prophet said, go down to the Jordan. Naaman was appealed to. Oh, that you'll be appealed to in the glad tidings tonight. Just to simply accept what Christ has done. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. Simply to thyself I cling. He wants you as you are. In all your needs. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. That's all it is, you know. Come with all your sins upon you. Why? Because he's able to forgive these sins. Because he bore them in his own body in the tree. John 19. Behold the man. Behold the man. The words of Pilate. You think of Pilate, you know. I don't know if Pilate was ever saved. Scripture doesn't record whether he ever was. What a testimony was rendered to that man. He wanted to let Jesus go. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that the Jews had delivered him up through envy. But he was all the more responsible because of it. He delivered Jesus up to their will. But you know, they put a crown of thorns upon his head and clothed him in purple and brought him out to the crowd. And Pilate said, behold the man. Behold the man. You know, these things were given in mockery and derision, but they were worn with dignity and majesty. That was the King of Kings that stood there before them. Think of it. Think of what man did to Jesus. Think of what he was allowed to do. Think of what Satan energized men to do. You know, I said it before, but Satan wouldn't have dared to spit in the face of Jesus. He wouldn't have dared. But man spat in the face of Jesus. There was no more ignominious thing they could have done was to spit in the face of Jesus. Why did he go that way? Why did he go on? It was the Father's will. In love for the Father's will, in love for you and me. Betrayed by Judas. Denied by Peter. Forsaken by his God and Father. How affecting that hymn is, you know. To see Jesus on the path of suffering that led to Calvary. To suffer there at the hands of men dreadfully. His face marred more than any man's. But then to suffer at the hands of a holy and righteous God. You know, God brought darkness over the whole scene. Man was not permitted to look on the sufferings of Christ. They were his and his alone. We could have no part, no entrance into the sufferings of Christ. Because there the wrath of God against sin that you and I had committed were poured out on his head. He suffered there the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Wonderful, the love of Jesus. I look at the cross tonight and I see the greatest expression of love the world has ever seen. Because there heaven's best was offered up. God spared not his only son. Think of God, you know, saying to Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up. You know, God was looking forward to the time when his well-beloved son would be offered up on Calvary's cross for the sins of a universe. Oh, the God's love is thus expressed to us. God commends his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not a spark of life towards God from you. Christ died for you when you weren't the least bit lovable. He loved you through everything. He loves you tonight. He wants to bless you. Will you accept him? Well, on the cross you have a man that have to come to Luke, have to come to the grace of God expressed in Luke's gospel to find the thief, you know. This man has done nothing amiss. Wonderful. I said grace is the greatest power in the universe. There it was. Reached out. Plucked up man. As a brand from the burning. There he was. Hours to his life running out, you know, hanging there next to Jesus. Both of them railing against the Lord. And then the light of who Jesus was flooded that thief's soul. This man has done nothing amiss. You know, he would have heard the Lord saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. These four transgressors intercede. He died for those that hated him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This man, we indeed justly, yes, repentance towards God, we indeed justly, but this man, faith in Christ, this man has done nothing amiss. He took the path of faith and of blessing. He put his trust in the man who hung next to him on Calvary's cross. He'll be in heaven, you know. He'll be there. Oh, you see, I can leave it to the very end like the thief on the cross. Which one do you refer to? Which one? There's no word that the other one was saved, you know. Although the testimony was there for him. There's only record that one of them was saved. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. Don't go out of that room tonight without a knowledge of Christ as your Saviour. I beseech you. I beseech you not to do that. If you hear the voice of Christ appealing to you in the glad tidings, respond and come to know him. Put your trust in him. Truly this man was Son of God. The centurion, you know, was profoundly affected by the death of Christ. It says he offered up his spirit. He cried with a loud voice. You know, a body which had hung on a cross was weakened. But my Saviour went out in power. There'd never been a life like the life of Jesus. There'd never been a death like the death of Jesus. And that centurion was profoundly affected. Truly, this man was Son of God. Well, that's the man I present in the glad tidings. He's not dead. He's a living, glorious Saviour. One could speak of a certain Jesus who is dead, whom Paul affirms to be living. That's my Saviour, you know. No longer in death, risen, glorious Saviour. No point in me standing here tonight if Christ is not raised. Paul could say, if he's not raised, you're still in your sins. No, God was entirely satisfied with that sacrifice, with that work, was completed to his eternal satisfaction. And God's glory claimed Christ from the realm of the dead. It was real for him, you know. He went voluntarily into the area of death. He would never have died if he hadn't given up his life. But you know, he came out of death triumphant and broke its power. You and I will never know the sting of death, those who trust in the Saviour, because he has broken the power of death. And he's coming again. Is that your hope? The man, Christ Jesus, he remains a man, you know. Isn't that marvellous? There's a man in heaven tonight. He came out from heaven. Came into manhood. And he retains manhood for us. He retains manhood. So there's a man in heaven tonight. And heaven is going to be populated with men, with sons like Christ. Well, will you be among them? Are you there? Are you waiting for Christ to come? Have you got your faith and trust in this blessed man? I urge you to come tonight. You know, the world is a judge system. Judgment will overtake the world. Death will overtake you and I if the Lord doesn't come. It never overtook Jesus, you know. It never overtook him. He gave up his life. But death has overtaken every man and woman since. Even Methuselah, death overtook him in the end. And it'll overtake you. Where will you stand? Where will you stand? If it happened tonight, where would you stand? Persons are hurled from time into eternity in a moment of time. And no, death is the end as far as any appeal to you. Death is an arrest in view of the final assizes, a brother once said. If you die in your sins, the Lord says you'll be raised in your sins. Think of that. Think of the awfulness of being raised in your sins when you could put your faith and trust in the one who bore these sins in his own body on the tree. I commend the man Christ Jesus to you. Avail yourself of that precious shed blood. Come into a living, blessed relationship with the man in the glory. Know what it is to have the gift of the Spirit who will engage you with such a blessed person until he comes. And may the joy and hope of his coming be bright in every heart in this room. May it be so for his name's sake.